Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the chicks in the PC. It is Saturday, the 6th day of June, Anno Domini 2026. And you, you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worcester.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things and shoes, nothing was escaped off the shoes, don't get the blues. Before we get to the news, we should mention
one thing I just want to say up front. We've got a new phone system. So I'm going to ask everybody's patience while we sort this out, because it's a little different.
Dave had enough trouble with the old sound phone system.
Hey, at 77 years old,
yeah.
Hey, I'm in my ways, you know?
That's right. And with your tantrums, that's why we don't have you on camera today.
No, yeah, exactly. I got to compliment Rob. He left me a lot of good clear pictures. Yeah, colored pictures.
You can, nice. You can RTFM.
Yeah. And, you know, go through that. But, you know, patience, please.
Yep. That's great.
Thank
you. And for those of you who don't know, RTFM stands for Read the Manual First.
Yes.
All right. Microsoft. before we start, I should thank Dennis for stepping in. Steve Ray, one step ahead of the law, somewhere in the Southwest.
Again, yeah.
Hanging out with the Hole in the Head gang.
He's sitting on his 69 Chevy and staring off at the horizon.
Yeah,
he's out there on the hood looking at the sunrise.
Looking at the sunrise. Sunglasses, half a pack of cigarettes, yep. Full tank of gas.
Just squinting.
On a mission from God.
Thinking about ones he's loved and lost.
Exactly. Any day now, Carrie Fisher's going to come over the horizon with a shotgun.
Yeah.
All right, Microsoft held their annual Build conference this Tuesday and Wednesday. It was a whirlwind 2 days of AI agents, customized Windows environments, AI agents, cutting-edge hardware, AI agents, a lengthy keynote, an AI agent, hundreds of developer sessions, AI agents, and floor demos. Here are some of the highlights.
Did they mention any AI?
Spoiler alert, there was AI.
Oh.
Yes, AI, specifically agentic AI, is a big focus for Microsoft. They want you to give Copilot complete control of your email, calendar, spreadsheets, and documents so it can do all of your work for you.
Uh-huh.
You can just hand everything over to Copilot and go sit on the beach sipping Mai Tais. While Copilot hallucinates you right out of a job. What could go wrong?
Yes, pretty much.
Microsoft says Copilot will only work on your terms and never, ever hallucinate or get anything wrong.
Right.
Ever.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But, now, was that the salespeople saying that or their lawyers saying that?
Yeah. I think their lawyers were all hiding under their desks.
Like, what are you doing?
Right. According to Satya Nadella, Microsoft's newer facilities use the closed-loop cooling system. Their newer AI
data centers yeah.
Use a closed-loop cooling system that circulates the same water through chillers, resulting in minimum water loss.
Okay.
They'll use about, according to him, the same amount of water as a restaurant. I've worked at restaurants. They use a lot of water.
What kind of restaurant?
Well, right.
Are we talking about the diner, you know?
Right.
Or are
right.
we talking about the Cheesecake Factory where that's huge square footage?
And huge square footage. They turn the tables over six times a night. There's
right.
dishes.
Boiling pasta.
Boiling pasta. Everybody gets at least one glass of water.
One glass of water,
that's
right.
That's a lot of water.
Okay.
What's your name again?
Microsoft also wants to unleash powerful agent-first devices, including a desk display and a badge concept that can hang around your neck, you know, like an albatross. Microsoft also released some hardware. The RTX Spark Dev Box and the RTX-powered Surface Laptop Ultra will be available to customers seeking a small yet powerful Windows machine that can run AI models locally. Customers with deep, deep pockets.
Yeah, good luck.
They also announced it's either Majorana 2 or Majorana 2. I don't know.
Yeah, if you know how to pronounce it, call in and tell us.
No, yeah, don't bother. Yeah, do call in and tell us. Their next quantum computing chip. The qubits have a 20-second lifetime, which doesn't seem like a lot, but is insanely longer than the other quarter of a second lifetime of other quantum chips are capable of. And let's not forget the personalized Open Claw agents. Never mind that Open Claw is plagued with severe security vulnerabilities, bloated code bases, stability features, failures, malicious skills acting as malware, unstable cron jobs, and gateway disconnects. It's agentic.
Yeah.
So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is Bytes with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Microsoft Build 2026. And your choices are, I want everything. Some interesting stuff. Meh. Just more AI slop. And who the what now? So far, we've got 26 votes, and who the what now has almost half of them. And, of course, if you'd like to vote in the poll, you can do so quite easily. Just head on over to soundbites.org. That's Bytes with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. You can vote in the poll. And then if you have that or anything else to say about anything, assuming, you know, it is D-Day. So assuming you're not storming the beaches at Normandy, you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-04. 15.
Yes, you can help Dave with his on-the-job training with the new phone system.
Yes, he's
doing
fun
great.
Anyway,
he's doing great
for certain select values of fun.
Yes, he still has all his hair. He's not pulled it all out, so I'm confident he's going to figure this out. I can see him dutifully reading the documentation that has been provided.
Yeah. So if you get hung up on, please just call back. Please understand, it's a brand new phone system. We're trying to figure it out. We'll get there, but we're not there yet.
All right. So AI.
So AI, so...
I've spent the last couple of years wanting to believe, right?
Yes.
I spent a few years ago playing with ChatGPT as a chatbot, saying things like, okay, where I work, we have professors, and the professors have come to me and said, hey, can it help me make a lesson plan? And I said, well, let's find out. So we said, can you help me make a lesson plan about this? Be sure to include these things. Make sure that there's an assessment that we can give to the students. And in general, it did okay. It did about 60 to 70% of things. And that was okay. And that was 4 years ago or so. In the past 6 months or so, capabilities, number one, have gotten way, way faster. And number two, have gotten way closer. Yes. So last year, I tried a similar question. And I asked it to describe things to me that I understand fairly well. And it got about 90 to 95% right, but it still made a couple of errors.
Yep.
Now, the things that I'm able to do are much more features rather than demonstrations. So, for instance, when we have meetings at work that happen to be hybrid meetings that are captured by video conferencing, the tools know how to transcribe the meeting and identify who's speaking. And later on, I can hit the summarize button. And it will tell me, here's what we talked about, here are the decisions that were made, here is who agreed to do what, and then when we come to the next meeting, we can evaluate if those people actually did those things that they were assigned.
See,
and those are things that are so powerful for small teams.
I don't like that for this very reason. I prefer to take the meeting notes myself.
Sure.
Because I learned long, long ago, the person who takes the notes controls the meeting.
That's true. But when you take the notes manually, do you have to stop and say, hang on, let me make sure I capture that?
No, I used to write back before the arthritis. I used to write very fast.
Oh, good.
I could type 120 words a minute.
Okay.
So I could take dictation if I needed to, and I have done that.
Right.
But what it meant was I could come to the next week and say, so, Dennis, did you do X? Well,
I didn't know that was for me.
Well, it's in the note. It's in the meeting minutes. It's right there.
Gulp.
You agreed to this. I can put anything in the meeting minutes.
That's right.
And I win.
You said you were bringing donuts.
That's right.
Where's the donuts?
I actually stopped at Dunkin' yesterday because I'm on my way to the hospital, and I didn't make breakfast. And apparently it was National Donut Day, so they gave me free donuts.
Oh, yeah,
donuts.
Tuesday. Wow. Tuesday was National Donut Day.
No, it was yesterday, Thursday.
Well,
yesterday, Thursday.
One of those days.
Yeah. So that was very sweet of them. I didn't need a donut.
Okay.
I've lost 120 pounds.
Well, good for you.
That's a person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is a human being.
That's right.
Yeah. It
I have lost that weight. In fact, the pants I'm wearing today, I, I bought back when I had not lost any weight.
Yes.
And I could, in fact, fit another person here with me.
Good to know you have options.
It's good to know I have options. All right, we should take one of those options and get to the phones and talk to Ed from Ithaca, New York. Ed, are you there?
I am here.
Well done, Dave.
Speak the phone. Good morning, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Can you hear us?
Okay, good. Yep. Yeah. Okay, all is right with the world.
Hooray.
What's up?
I have a MacBook Air that I recently updated from Safari to Monterey, which is, I think, as high as it will go.
Okay.
And now I'm having problems. I download a lot of podcasts, including yours, and I put them into music, and then I transfer them onto my Apple iPhone 7, and I use it as a iPod.
Okay,
I listen,
sure.
I think, as I walk around. However, recently, it will not recognize the iPod or the iPhone. Sometimes it will, sometimes it won't. Sometimes it seems like I have to have it charging for a little while, so maybe so the wires are warm. I don't know. Hmm. And then sometimes it won't recognize it at all. Sometimes it does show up in the Finder. But then when I go to try to click on it, where it says iPhone 7, nothing happens. Or sometimes it will, and it will start syncing, and then it will stop. If it doesn't show up at all, I have to, and I try it in both of the USB ports.
Okay.
I have to shut it down and start up again, shut down the whole computer, start up again, and then it recognizes it.
Hmm.
And then it also, it may be independent, but when I try to transfer files from a flash drive.
Okay.
Or even from the Finder into the Windows, I have to, I click it and move it over, and I have to do that twice, usually, before it gets there.
Interesting. Okay.
So.
So, intermittent connectivity with things that you're plugging into USB ports is how I would briefly describe this.
Right.
So with the iPhone 7, and for our listeners, the iPhone 7 and the MacBook Air running Monterey, those are, I would say, not the most recent OS and also not the most recent iPhone.
Right.
Now, that being said, that iPhone has seen some days, and it has a Lightning connector on the inside. The Lightning connector has a bunch of spring-loaded contacts on it. And over time, those contacts, I think, are made of aluminum or copper or copper-coated aluminum. Those can wear, and they can, like I said, they are tiny little flat pieces of metal that are used in a spring arrangement. And the spring can become weaker over time. And admittedly, the iPhone 7 is an older device. I do wonder if something on that connector is not making a good connection. I can also say on the USB-A connector that's likely going into the side of your MacBook Air, similarly, on the cable side, the connector will be spring-loaded. And if those things are not making a good connection, then the computer has no way to know what's at the other end of the cable. So I think the cheapest way to troubleshoot this would probably be replacing the cable with a known good cable.
I've done it with different cables.
Okay. The other thing I would look at is the connector itself on the iPhone, particularly if it's one that goes in your pocket often. What I see is pocket lint gets into the connector, and then when you click in the Lightning connector, it compresses that at the other end. I think you can take a very small needle or some other small device and try and see if you can pry out any compressed pocket lint that might be in there. If you are connecting devices in and they're not showing up, on your Mac there is an application called System Information. System information lives in the Applications folder and then, I believe, inside the Utilities folder. And it has a section you can click on. It's called USB. And that will tell you
what's connected to the USB ports. And here's why that's important. When you make a connection with a USB cable to any device, the device has to check in with the computer before anything else happens. And system information reports on what are the devices that this computer can see through its ports. If you're noticing that your podcasts aren't moving or your flash drive isn't appearing on the desktop or things are not showing up the way they ought to, the first thing I would do would be to see if system information sees these devices or not. That helps you break down, is the problem that the computer can't see it, or is the problem that the computer sees it, but it doesn't know what to do next? And that could at least help you isolate where the failure might be happening.
Step one of troubleshooting.
Right. So I would start with those things. You said you've tried other cables.
Right. Two questions. First is, where do I find system information?
Yep, it's on your Macintosh HD. And then in applications.
Okay, Scott.
And then it's in...
Hold on.
Wait a minute, I'm trying to... Are the applications, are they in the Launchpad?
System information might not be in Launchpad.
Okay.
But if you click anywhere on your desktop and then go to the Go menu... and choose applications. Actually, right below it, you can choose utilities.
Okay. So I will do that and check that
applications,
out.
Utilities, and then system information.
Right. So is the fact that when I restart the computer, it works just... random chance, even though it's very consistent?
Well, that is a really good clue. And so that tells me that there may be something about the subsystem that talks to the USB ports that may be having trouble or crashing. In that case, the best course of action is to back up all the data files that you care about, reinstall macOS, and go from there. On the off chance that it's a potential hardware problem, you may need to take your computer to a service center.
Yeah.
But I would say a fresh install of your latest OS, and also make sure that you've got all the software updates that Apple's had. I think there were several for Monterey.
Yeah, I've got those.
Okay. Then I think those are the things I would try first.
Okay. So that doesn't explain why transferring from the Finder to... the music program is so weird.
That is true. Can you tell me more about that symptom?
Yes. So I click in downloads, I highlight some files, I move them over to the playlist that I want.
Okay.
And nothing happens until I do it a second time. Occasionally, it will do it the first time. So right now, it did it. But much more often, it doesn't. Nothing shows up, or it shows up very briefly, like for a millisecond, and then it disappears. And I transfer it again, and it usually takes the second time.
Interesting.
I'm also wondering if perhaps the hard drive isn't dying.
Well, that's possible on a machine of that vintage, that the SSD that's on the MacBook Air might be reaching the end of its useful life.
The SSDs and HDDs both have a
lifespan.
To failures of 5 years.
Yeah.
There's no difference whether it's PC or Mac.
Right.
Right. So, this is much older than that.
Right.
Yeah.
So I recognize that you're trying to keep old stuff running, and I respect that. But that being said, when you're working with older equipment, there is a lifespan that it has, and we may be getting closer to the end of that than the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I would start with by backing up everything, doing a fresh install, and trying again.
Okay.
I think that's...
There's another...
Go ahead.
Another thing that may or may not be related, which is that a few weeks ago, I installed an anti-spyware or antivirus thing. It starts with a C. It's something like Carolyn. There's a console or something.
Okay.
Not console. And then you all told me that no malwarebytes is sufficient. I don't really need that. So I uninstalled it. However, it keeps showing up in that those icons at the very top of the screen.
Okay, yes, on the menu bar.
And it, and it, you know, it's got its icon and it flashes.
Up in the bar
and
at the top.
Click exit. Yeah, at the top.
Right.
Next to the power symbol and the Bluetooth and so forth.
Yeah. Yeah, you may need to click that and choose quit. If that's the case, it sounds
that's
like it may not be as uninstalled as you would prefer.
Yeah.
How did you uninstall it?
I think I clicked it in the applications and dragged it to the trash.
Okay. Well, that's a very typical way to remove applications. There may be specific needs that particular app has. Do you know the name of it?
I don't, because I uninstalled it. It began with a C.
Okay.
Komodo,
that sounds right.
Okay. We can certainly look up some uninstall directions, and we'll post those to the Soundbites webpage.
Oh, wow, great.
If there are specific ones. Komodo, Mac, antivirus. We'll do some searching, and we'll get that put up.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate all your help.
No problem.
All right,
thanks for calling.
Bye.
Yeah, you're supposed to use the built-in uninstaller.
Okay.
So if he just dragged it out, he probably left some artifices behind.
Yes, I see. Use the Komodo uninstaller tool. All right. I will send you this link so that you can put it on the webpage.
Thank you.
And that's how we do it. Oh, speaking of, you should check your mail now because I've already sent you a link for something else that I think you're going to like.
I always try to send
Nick interesting things that I find online. In the past, we've talked about the Weather Channel app that you can use to make your computer behave like it's the 1990s and show the Weather Channel, including the music. But today I have something different that is AI-based that allows you to enter information and it will create a limerick for you.
I love limericks. I actually know a clean one.
There's no clean limerick. What are you talking about? So like during the break, we'll come up with some. We'll make up limericks for each other.
I did know a clean one anyway.
So you say.
I can only remember the first line of it. I mean, it's clean, so why would I want to remember it? All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Scott from Buffalo. Hiya, Scott. How you been?
Oh, we're doing all right. So last winter, I bought an iPhone 17.
Okay.
And a new iPad. And I was so happy not to use the Lightning connector.
Yeah.
It was always getting messed up. Well, I discovered now that the USB-C connector also doesn't, ruins itself after a while.
Oh, it does?
And I was surprised about it. Yeah, I have one. Like, I have one in my bedroom that stays on my desk.
Okay.
And after a few months, it stopped working.
Oh, that's no good.
So I had to get a new one.
A new cable.
Yeah.
Yeah, a new cable.
Okay.
I tried turning it over and all those things.
Yeah.
And it's just, but it seems to have the same problem as a Lightning connector.
Oh. That's no fun.
Yeah, the problem is almost with as Dennis said for the first caller, Ed, the Lightning connectors had those, let's be honest, cheap little springs in them.
Tiny little springs, and in general, they work great for a while.
With every other type of connector, the weak spot is often that connection between the cable and the end.
Yeah. Right.
Those can fray.
A lot of stress
on them. And I've seen some that had just super extra stuff on them to help with that. But even so.
Yeah, strain relief, we call it.
Yeah, strain relief. And even so, The cables don't last as long as they as we all think they should.
It's true.
Right. So USB-C has the same problem as far as I can tell.
Yeah, it can. It can, particularly if you plug it in and then the cable goes off to the side, like if it's real short trying to get to the wall. That can be a trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, listen, Scott, I hate to cut you off, but I'm afraid we got to go.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Bye.
All right,
have fun. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Dennis Worster, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That would be Soundbites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you in a few.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
That's silence that you're hearing.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worster.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites.
Yes.
And Dennis has made a limerick.
That's right. I've used Limerickster. We've got a link on the webpage. You can do it, too. You describe your subject with their name and location, hobbies, the things that they like, their names of their pets and their favorite food and what their job is and what their appearance is like. And then you pick a tone, and I picked cheerful for Nick. So here is a limerick for Nick.
I'm afraid to hear this one.
In Rochester, Nick loves to play with 3D printing every single day. He writes with great zest about computers he's blessed, and his bearded self enjoys lasagna on Friday.
Okay.
I mean, technically, that's a limerick.
Technically, it is, yes.
It's not the best, but we're going to have to keep, we have to workshop this a little. So Nick's trying one for me, and he got hung up when I told him my dog's name is Snoop.
Oh, Snoop. No, I didn't hear it as all that was.
He had that name when we adopted him?
Yeah.
He was named after the rapper, apparently.
Snoop Dogg, of course. All right, we'll do this later. We'll go back to the phones now. We'll talk to Matt from Rochester, New York. What's up, Matt?
Well, I have a question concerning something that was brought up a couple of weeks ago. It's about installing from a USB drive?
Yeah.
Okay. One of the things you had mentioned was to take the flash drive and put the ISO on it, and that there would be nothing else on that flash drive besides the ISO.
Now, okay, but you missed a step already.
Pardon?
You missed a step already.
Oh, okay.
You sound like you were dragging the ISO over to the thumb drive. That does not work.
No, yeah.
What you have to do is use a program like Rufus or Belina Etcher to actually take that ISO and turn the thumb drive into a bootable device.
And Belina Etcher does just that.
So does Rufus, and there are a couple of others.
The reason I only mention Belina Etcher,
I use it.
Yeah, yes. Is because it won't let you erase your C drive.
Yeah, no, that's
it's got a safeguard.
Oh, smart.
Yeah,
I always check four times.
Was I copied the ISO?
Yeah, that won't work.
From my hard drive.
Nope.
Hang on.
Won't work.
Hang on. Let him finish.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. So, first of all, in order for me to put it on the USB drive, I'm going to have to download Etcher, put that on the machine.
Yep.
And then, do I call up Etcher, or will it automatically pick it up?
No, you run Etcher, and it will ask you, it will give you essentially three buttons. It depends on the version, whether they're buttons or pull-downs.
But, yeah.
The first one is, what ISO do you want to use, and you pick that. What drive do you want to make bootable with that ISO, and you pick that, and go.
Yeah, it's
okay.
It's a good one.
What I'm doing is I'm putting Linux on a Windows machine.
Perfect.
Yeah, that'll work.
So yeah, but whatever machine you start the Belina Etcher for, you also have to have that ISO image on the desktop or in a folder somewhere that you know to tell Belina Etcher where to go to grab this ISO so it can create that jump drive with all the files that it needs so it can boot up this Windows machine and make it into a Linux machine.
And you don't have to do, you don't have to create the thumb drive on the same computer that you're going to turn into a Windows machine.
Right.
You know, once you've got that thumb drive made, you can put it on any machine and boot into that and run the installer from there.
Okay, now, in order to use the USB, I formatted it, and I did it into XT4. Can I get away with that, or do I need to go to FAT32?
Probably FAT32 is better. If you're using a Windows machine...
it'll be going to a Windows machine because I want to get rid of the Windows and I'm going to put it in Linux.
Yeah, but I'm sorry. I'm backing up a step. What machine are you burning the thumb drive on?
That's on a Linux machine.
Okay.
Mint.
Then it doesn't, I don't think it matters because I think Belina redoes everything.
Reformats it. For the flash drive.
Yep.
And then when you do Linux installer, part of that installation process will be to
format
your
destination
drive.
Then you want
EXT4 probably.
XT4, yeah. EXT4 is probably best. But it'll do that automatically. It'll just
that'll be part of the process.
You don't have to worry about that. So it doesn't matter what your thumb drive has on it now. You download Belina Etcher and run it. Pick the ISO you want to burn. Pick the thumb drive you want to burn it to. Hit go, and wait. It will format the drive, install the software on it. And then it'll go back and check it all.
Yeah, it'll verify it.
So it takes longer than you think.
Because it might take 3 or 4 minutes.
It'll go through the whole process essentially twice. Once while it does it, and the second time when it verifies it. So don't get excited when it starts all over again.
Yeah. And it'll let you know when it's done. But yeah, that's a very good utility program for that.
Yeah, it really is.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Matt. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye. Bye.
I actually played with Ventoy this week.
Ventoy?
Ventoy is a program that you put on a thumb drive.
Okay.
You can then just copy over all the ISOs that'll fit on that thumb drive. And when you boot another machine with Ventoy, it comes up and says, okay, here are all your ISOs. Which one do you want to install?
Oh, interesting.
And it can be Linux, it can be Windows, it can be obviously not a Mac. Well, I suppose it was the old Intel, one of the old Intel Mac versions, you could do that.
Okay.
Or Chrome OS Flex or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, interesting. I was not aware of this.
I've got, it's called Ventoy.
Right.
When you burn it, it actually gives you two drives.
Okay.
But if you burn it on Windows, for example, you get a D and an E.
All right.
D is the bootable Ventoy system.
Sure. And then E is the...
E is the empty space where you put all your your ISOs.
Okay. So it's a bootable front end that lets you pick ISOs to boot from.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I have...
an entire library of those.
Yeah. I just used it to put Kinoite, I think it's called. It's a Fedora Atomic. It's a KDE version of Fedora.
Okay.
Onto a system yesterday, and it, like I said, you run Ventoy, you get a pretty little window.
Right.
It says here are your choices. You click on one, and it installs it.
Interesting.
Done. It was really kind of neat.
I like it.
I liked it too. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Vic. From Irondequoit, New York. What's up, Vic?
Have you guys used any weather site that is more reliable or more accurate than others? I've got 4 on my computer, and they're all different.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's...
suggestions?
No. Yeah, I'm sorry. No.
The one that I use is called wunderground.com.
Yeah.
And I've been using them for a long time.
The Weather Underground, it's a very good one.
Mm-hmm. It's been around for decades.
And they do, if I remember right, they're the one that will also pull information from people's weather stations that publish. So if there's a person in my neighborhood who happens to have a weather station, so I can get hyper-local weather that just happens to be from my neighborhood, and it's not just whatever's happening at the airport. That's one that I use. There's another one that's called WTTR.in.
Love them. Love them. You can get them in your terminal.
That's right. So WTTR.in is, I'm not precisely sure what their source of weather is, but the way they display it is to use ASCII graphics, which are very old school terminal style graphics. And when you go to WTTR.in, you can specify with a slash either the city that you care about or an airport code or lots of other things. If you're especially nerdy and you want to, from your terminal, use curl, you can curl WTTR.in, and it will put your weather report in your terminal, which is kind of fun.
If you do WTTR.in/moon, you get the phase of the moon.
Oh, I was going to say the weather on the moon?
Weather on the moon.
There's no atmosphere on the moon. You don't have weather. It's either sunny or dark.
Dusty.
Yes.
But dry. The reality is that every weather system, every weather app is going to be just slightly different depending on how often it pulls the data from its source and where that source is. So as Dennis said, I have one source, like the Weather Channel, that pulls from the Greater Rochester International Airport. But it only does it like every half hour, I think it is.
Yeah, and I mean, the NOAA has weather.gov.
Weather.gov, but in each of those cases, I mean, think about Rochester. What was the weather half an hour ago? It's not the weather now.
Right, and it's going to be different up by Lake Ontario than it is.
So it's 5 degrees cooler.
And my phone, when I'm at home, pulls the weather from some station in Brighton. Well, some weather station in Brighton.
So I would say
I'm close to Brighton.
If you want the most accurate weather, put a weather station in your backyard.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
But the reality is that depending on I created a little dashboard that sits above my computer on a Raspberry Pi, and it has the date and the time and a couple of other pieces of information, but it also has the weather. I also can see the weather on my computer. I can also see the weather on my phone. They are all different. And mostly it has to do with when it pulls the data.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you live in Rochester. You know that 15 minutes ago the weather was different than it is now.
Of course.
And so it depends. It depends entirely on when it happens to pull the weather.
So they're pretty much all very reliable. It's just, like you said, when they... pull the weather then.
Timing.
Yes, they're all very reliable for certain select values of reliable.
And when and from where specifically.
Right, right.
Okay. All right, well, thank you very much, guys.
Yeah, sorry. I wish we had a better answer for you, but that's...
No, that's a good answer.
That's the way
that's
it is.
Answer.
Yep.
Yep.
Thank you.
I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, there are places you can get the weather on, like Mars.
Okay.
The weather on the moon is pretty dull, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
It's just too hot or cold.
Yeah. Yeah,
and dry
or dark.
It's always dry. It's always, you know, yeah.
As far as we know.
Sunny and hot or dry and
cold and
dark.
Cold and dry.
Yeah. You can get, like I said, hyper-local weather if you've got a station in your backyard. Fairly local weather because my phone, for example, knows where I am, and it picks up the nearest station. So when I'm at home, the nearest station is Brighton. I live in the city, but next to Brighton.
Right.
If I'm like here, it picks up the weather in Greece, and so it's very local. But you know, when I'm using my computer, it generally picks up the Greater Rochester International Airport.
Right.
You also have to be careful because some of them will ask you where you are, and if you just say Rochester, you get Rochester, Minnesota.
Minnesota, right?
Yeah.
And you have to say Greater Rochester International Airport.
Yeah.
Because Minnesota has the Rochester International Airport.
Oh, interesting.
Not the Greater Rochester International
right.
Airport.
So when I use WTTR.in, I use a forward slash, and then I do the airport code, which is KROC.
Right.
And that gives me
weather at the airport. But for my phone, the app that I like is called Carrot Weather, which gives hyperlocal forecasts, but it also has a personality to it.
Nice.
When it gives the weather. So if it's 72 degrees and feels like 69, it'll give you a phrase that says, make the most of this nice weather that I generated for you, or else. So it's a lot of fun. It's available on iOS and the Google Play Store as well.
Nice. So, yeah, I'm looking at the weather through WTTR.in, and it's currently 75 degrees. Feels like 78 Fahrenheit.
Yes.
Fahrenheit.
That's right.
Wind out of the southwest at 19 miles an hour, 9 miles of visibility, 0 inches of rainfall.
And if you'd prefer Celsius, there are switches that you can throw
right.
that will convert it for you.
Right, I've actually got a switch that says...
And if you want millimeters of mercury or
yeah, for you people whose measurements have to make sense.
Yeah, multiples of 10.
Yeah.
What's the fun in that?
Deal. No. All right, we got time to talk to Dave from Canandaigua, New York. What's up, Dave?
Well, continuing on with the weather sites,
yes.
The one that I'm really impressed with is called... lightningmaps.org.
I love that one.
Oh, man. It shows the actual hits. You get a little tick. You know, the machine will make a sound, your computer.
Okay.
And basically, it allows you to see how close things are really hitting to where you are.
Yeah.
And, you know, certain times of the year, Western New York, as well as other places in the country, you know, I'll tell you, like, whether your kids really need to get out of the pool.
Right. It looks like Ohio is getting nailed pretty hard right now as we record.
Yep.
Interesting.
So that's all I got until I think up something else later.
Okay. Well, give us a buzz back when you think of something else. Thanks, Dave.
I will.
All right, thanks.
Yep.
Lightningmaps.org. Why didn't it do it? Oh, probably because I didn't spell lightning correctly.
Oh.
That might have had something to do with it.
Fussy.
But, yeah, you can... I'll post that at the break. Lightningmaps.org, like Dave said, you can check your area,
right,
and put it up. And if there's a thunderstorm, and it's real time. So I have sat and watched a lightning strike hit on the map,
mm-hmm.
and it has a kind of a radar thing that goes out as the mm-hmm. sound wave goes out.
Oh, really?
And when it passes my house, I hear the thunder.
Whoosh. Yeah.
It's really quite cool. Amazing.
Huh.
It's based on a German site called Lightning Maps in German, I guess. I don't speak a lot of German.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's very cool. And you can hit turn on sound and a whole bunch of other things. So obviously right now it's pretty dull while watching
right.
it. But next time there's a thunderstorm, check it out. It's very cool.
So German for lightning is Blitzen.
Blitzen, yeah, Blitzen.
So Donner and Blitzen, the
well, that was the whole thing about the Blitzkrieg.
The lightning
thing
war.
Of that was the lightning.
So Donner and Blitzen, Santa's reindeer, were named after thunder and lightning.
Thunder and lightning, Blitz or Tongue.
Mm-hmm.
BLITZORTUNG.org, or of course, lightningmaps.org if you prefer English.
Sure.
But yeah, it's actually a very cool site. It tells you how many per minute there are. I mean, it's just. If you're a weather geek,
right.
this is a channel you should know.
Well, and it also, if you're for doing ham things, I think you'd care about if the
there's one site that I use,
with.
And I check, and that's why I was saying, like yesterday, it was like, 90 degrees by my house.
Yeah.
I go up to Arundhatuit Bay, 77.
Wow.
Yeah.
The lake breeze was beautiful. I just sat out on the picnic bench,
yep.
set my antenna up, and I sat there for 2.5 hours just making contacts all over the world.
Amazing.
And it was beautiful. Then I get back home, hot.
Yeah.
And that's why I had to excuse myself here for a moment while you guys were talking, because my air conditioning decided to stop working.
Oh, not a great week for that.
So good.
That's no fun.
Sorry, I'm just putting in lightningmaps.org.
Yeah.
Soundbite, Janine.
Oh, this is great. We're getting more callers. Wonderful.
Bill, where are you calling from?
You know, it's the callers that make this fun. It's my favorite part.
Yep. Sorry, I'm just Apparently, I cannot spell lightning. This is the third time I left out the T.
Okay.
All right, I think lightning. I got it. I think I got it right now. I might not have. I might have misspelled lightning in one of the
There's
other
There's no ones. Autocorrect that's saving you?
No, not on here.
Oh, man.
I turned that off because normally I get it right. But
we're doing what
you
we
never
can.
Know. All right, we got a couple of minutes. We can talk to Bill from Greece, New York. What's up, Bill?
Yeah, I'm not familiar with Mac, but there's an app that I use called Local Send, and it will wirelessly transfer files from Mac, iOS, Android, Linux, and Windows.
Wow.
Yeah.
It does them all. I don't know if that would help the fellow.
Okay. Good to know. Yeah, I think that would be... Right. Something to check out to see if that would help make it easy to move things from your phone to your computer.
I use it from my phone to the computer, and it's better than any of the other ones. Most of them are so fiddly. This one, it just shows up, you click, and it goes.
Yeah, okay. So basically what you do is, I use LocalSend all the time.
Hmm.
And what you do is you put it on both your machines.
Okay.
You give them names, and you start it. And when you start it, it finds all the other local send machines on your network that are running the software. So if you want to send one, receive one, you got to start it on both machines.
Okay.
And that means you can turn it off and that machine becomes invisible again. So it's secure.
Interesting.
And then it comes up and you can give each one a different name or it makes up a name. And I can then say, okay, I want to send from this machine. And you pick all the files you want. And it says, and then you say, okay, from the list of machines that showed up, I want to receive, I want this one.
Send it over there.
Send it to this one. The other one says, do you want to receive these? X machine is asking you want to receive these. You want to receive them? Yes, I do. Now, what it does is it sends it over your local network.
Hmm.
Nothing hits the internet. Everything is private and secure.
Yeah.
And it happens at your local speed.
Right.
So on
Which
my network, most of my machines are connected through a gigabit Ethernet.
Sure.
Not router.
Switch.
Switch. And so files just appear on the other machine.
Right. Faster than you can walk over there.
Faster than I can walk over there.
Interesting.
If you're, I will put up a link to LocalSend as well. LocalSend is quite an amazing little product, and it is available for every operating system that people use today.
Right.
I don't think it's available for, like, Amiga OS. But for the common operating systems that people use today, you will find a version of LocalSend.
Windows, Mac OS, Linux, Android, and iOS.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that covers the vast majority of
that
stuff.
That covers 99.9999%
of them. Right. Yeah, your old Commodore, not so good. But
yeah, right.
Interesting.
Excellent,
okay.
Excellent call there, Bill. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I love
No, that's a good one. That reminds me of like older cloud-based ones like Dropbox.
Yep.
But Dropbox that relies on you, number one, having an internet connection, and number two, wanting the things that you are trying to move to go out your internet connection and then back into the other devices whenever they sync. But this is all local.
And they only move at the speed that your internet connection and Dropbox at the other end allow.
Right. Well, and however much capacity they allow, too. So if you've only got a 5-gig plan and you're on your 6th gig, that's not going to be
When I was setting up Ventoy, I took 4 ISO files. That's what, 6 gig anyway?
Sure.
And just sucked them over from one machine to the other. Mm-hmm. Boom, done.
Click, 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 done.
Click, 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 done. And, LocalSend is quite amazing. I'm very impressed by it.
Interesting. All right. Well, I learned something new today.
There you go.
This is why I come.
This is why you come here. Just
like I said, callers are my favorite part. I always learn something.
This, but you could listen to us every week.
What?
From the comfort of your own home.
Wow. How would I do that?
Or on your own bike through your phone.
Yeah. That sounds awesome.
It's real easy, ladies and gentlemen. All you have to do is what you're doing right now.
Oh.
Which, whether you're listening to us over the air or over the app or over... YouTube or
StreamYard.
Via the podcast or
listen to us during the week.
You can listen to us on your on your smart speaker.
You never know what you'll learn.
We have so much.
Yes, and we want you to generate a limerick and call us.
Yeah, give us a call with our limerick or your limerick better. you know you more than you know us. So, yeah, give us a call. And you can do that. We're going to take a break. Don't go too far. Listen to the lovely information that will be coming your way during our break. But also, if you need to, take a bio break or get yourself a beverage, adult or otherwise. We don't judge. And generate your limerick. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Renright. Dave, wow. Hi, how are, who are you again? Dave, some Dave. Dennis Worcester, me, Nick Francesco. And you. It is 59 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest running computer show in the known universe. That's Soundbites. There's a whole nother hour of this show coming your way. So hopefully I will get my mouth working by then. I brush my teeth. I can't do a thing with them. And we'll be right back with a whole lot more soundbites on members. Did I say that already? Member supported Jazz 90.1. See you in just a few.
Computer talk you can understand. More soundbites is next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
On Facebook at Jazz 901 FM.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worcester.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, you're hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest running computer show in the known universe. Soundbites.
Yeah.
Right here on member supported Jazz 90.1. And while you call us at 585-966-JAZZ, it's 966-5299, toll free at 800-790-0415. Dave Enright will speak.
Yeah, I just, again, since this is the top of the other hour.
Oh,
New listeners, be patient with us. We've got a brand new phone system in here. And I got to admit,
you're doing okay.
I'm slowly getting the hang of it. It's something different. So just be patient. But so far, I'm starting to get the flow of it. And we're getting the calls on the air. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Dave gets confused when there's a new rug in his house. So give him a chance.
You start squinting at
the new system. Where am I? This is not my rug.
Who brought this in?
All right, Microsoft Edge Password Manager has removed support for master passwords on Windows in an update.
Surprise, surprise.
It will leave users with a couple of secure options that offer more protection, like passkeys through Windows Hello.
Okay.
Don't use Windows Hello? You will. On Tuesday, a document was leaked that said Microsoft wanted to, and I quote, make people addicted, end quote, to its new AI agent, Scout, which is the new name for Clippy. On Thursday, Satya Nadella assured his staff he was not sure what this document is or who is writing and leaking this nonsense. I mean, the whole idea is ridiculous, right? You're already addicted to Windows. He didn't say that part. I did.
Edit.
That was editorial comment.
Yes.
Windows 11's right-click menu, also known as the context menu, is, to put it politely, a cluttered mess. But it could soon change course. Microsoft has confirmed that it'll let you customize the context menu to your liking, which means you'll be able to add or remove items. It's being tested now, so you may see it, but you may not. Not everybody is a beta tester. An alpha tester. We're all beta testers. At Build 2026, Microsoft encouraged developers to build more native apps for Windows 11. While Windows didn't specifically warn against web apps, it was one of the rare developer conferences where the company pushed WinUI, a native framework, over web apps. In fact, Microsoft itself has formed a new team to build native apps for Windows 11 instead of building web apps. And then the problem with web apps, of course, is if you're not connected to the web, you can't run them.
Yeah.
And they finally discovered that not everybody is connected to the web 24/7. They're also rewriting the start menu, which many, many, many people are looking forward to. Let's see. What went wrong in Windows land this week? There was an incident preventing customers from setting up multi-factor authentication or accessing the My Sign-Ins platform. It's been fixed. There was an incident preventing users of its Teams collaboration platform and Office for the Web cloud-based productivity suite from opening files. It's been fixed. There was an issue causing installation failures and errors when deploying the May 2026 Windows 11 security update. It's been fixed. There was a widespread service issue affecting the mail flow pipeline for Exchange Online customers across North America, Asia Pacific, and Europe. It's been fixed. We, of course, are just as broken as we've always been, but give us a call anyway at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll-free at 800-790-0415. And, there were a whole lot of people across a whole lot of regions in the world who couldn't get at their Microsoft. So some of us think that's a feature, not a bug. But for many other people,
right.
it seems that they would prefer to actually be able to access their documents and their programs and all the other stuff that they do. I guess if you're going to be unreasonable, that's the way it is.
That's Microsoft.
Microsoft did fix a bunch of things this week. Of course, there are things that shouldn't have been broken in the first place, but at least now they're fixed, and that's the important part.
Until they find another way around that one.
And that's, we talk about leapfrogging all the time.
Yep. And we also talk about how Microsoft has for decades, been noted for abandoning different products and everything else, right down to their Defender.
Yep.
Sure.
The latest thing to, all of a sudden, we don't have time for that. It doesn't make us much money.
Well, they're trying to keep up with Google. Google comes up with five new things every year, and three of them are dead by the end of the year.
That's right. Don't get excited about new Google stuff. I hate to say that.
Yeah.
But, Google Reader was the one that I still miss.
I still miss that one. Pour one out for Google Reader.
I don't remember what it's called. Hold on a second.
I think I've been using Reader, R-E-E-D-E-R.
I use ProtoPage.
Okay.
We've talked about ProtoPage in the past.
There's another site called alltop.com.
Yeah.
That lets you pick specific things, and then it will just give you the top headlines from those specific subjects.
Yeah. ProtoPage does is it gives you widgets. So you can have a widget of like a clock or quote of the day.
I see. So it's like a portal.
This news. Yeah, it's essentially a portal.
I see.
And the weather and, whatever calendar, whatever you want. And you can have multiple tabs and different. So I've got one for local news and tech news and news and one for my bookmarks and podcasts and. Hmm. Hardware news and all coffee news.
Yeah.
So all kinds of different tabs. You can also, if you log in, you can create private tabs. So I have a couple of private tabs that I do not share with other people.
Okay.
That you can't see normally. But if I log in, I see them. ProtoPage does a lot of stuff.
Interesting.
In the meantime, we're going to go to the phones and we're going to talk to Mark. From Greece, New York. What's up, Mark?
Hello. How are you today?
Peachy, well. How are you?
I am peachy, too. Just calling to remind people that the secure boot certificates are coming due soon for Microsoft.
Okay.
Right.
And the funny part about it is that the old certificates, according to Microsoft, will still work even though they're expired, but it leaves you exposed. Now, eventually will leave you exposed. I thought the whole purpose of them requiring secure boot was to keep us safe.
Right.
I just don't understand their logic. Now, they forced this on us. People couldn't update to Windows 11 because they didn't have secure boot. And now the certificates are going to expire, and they're going to let you use the one from 2011 instead of the one from 2023. What's the purpose?
Okay, you can't. Okay, it will let you use them for a while because not everybody is going to update automatically. They know this. But you should update, because there are some sites that will not accept the old certificates. So you're going to find places you can't go. And more of them will happen. The problem really is that not every site on the internet has updated their own certificates yet. So telling people you can't use the old certs means you're not going to be able to get to some places. So there's going to be a time where the new certificates work on some places, the old certificates work on some places. So if you can't use both, there are places you won't be able to get to. Whereas if they're both working, you can get everywhere. And as more places...
Because according to them, you're still going to be able to boot even if you don't have the new certificate.
Right, because some of the things that you run, some of the... I said places to go, but what I'm really talking about are drivers and things on your machine. Some of them have not been properly updated. And so if you can only use the new certificates, it is possible that your machine will break, because there are some devices that still use the old certificates. However, if you can only use the new certificates, or you can only use the old certificates, there are other devices that will break because they don't have the new certificates. So you do need to update. And Windows, and this is true of Macs and Linux as well, will prefer the new certificates and eventually phase out the old certificates. So you should, everybody, this is not just Windows people, everybody should make sure you're up to date. Now, Mac and Linux people, I know updated automatically. The if you've updated at any time in the last 3 months, you've got the new certificate. So you don't have to worry. And that's true of Windows and Mac people as well. But I know there are particularly Windows people who don't update regularly. But you will find that certain devices stop working. So
I think Microsoft is a mess. That's what I think.
Well, you're not wrong about that. Microsoft is a mess, and they know that, and they're beginning to realize they have to do something about it. You know, at first, I'll be honest with you, they didn't care, because you were going to use Windows anyway, and the hell with you.
Right.
Now, you know, they see Linux is taking a bigger bite out of their marketplace. Macs are taking a bigger bite out of their marketplace. Chromebooks are taking a bigger bite. They know they have to do something, so they're finally doing it. As to whether it's too little, too late for a lot of people, whatever. But, if you are running any of the standard monthly updates, you will have gotten the new keys, so you don't have to worry. It's not anything special you have to do. Just any update Tuesday in the last two or three of them gave you those new secure boot keys. But I know there are people who don't update regularly, and that's a problem for them.
Right. Well, I'm biding my time with Windows anyways, because when they do go to their new form of Windows where you're going to have a subscription, I'm not giving them any money for a subscription. Nope.
Well, a lot of people are looking at that, and that's, you know, they keep telling their investors they're going to do that, and then they keep putting it off because they know nobody's going to pay. I mean, the vast majority. They're going to get businesses, but they're not going to get individuals.
You know, I'd pay a one-time fee and hold on to it, but I'm not going to pay them every month forever. You know, I've got enough subscriptions that I'm getting rid of, let alone adding.
Well, and they see that, right? You know? They see that, you know, you pay for Netflix and Disney and Paramount and yada, 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 and people are closing those accounts out, too. Because who can afford it anymore? In this economy? I don't think so. And so they keep putting it off, but they keep telling their investors, we're going to do this. So they're caught between a rock and a hard place right now.
Right, because what investors want to hear is you're going to have growth. And you're going to have growth from not just selling stuff, but from selling the services. And in ye olden days, when you used to drive to the store to buy a boxed copy of software, you know, 20-plus years ago, that was the one time that the manufacturer got some money.
And now with subscriptions, the problem is they have to pay the developers every week.
Yep.
Not just once in a while when people buy something. So they needed a way to smooth out the revenue. The revenue doesn't come all at once over a few months, but it comes out, comes periodically in dribs and drabs every month.
Right.
And the investors like that because what they want to see is consistent flow of money coming in.
And that looks
very attractive.
And they see that in some businesses.
Sure.
So you can get a monthly subscription to Exchange.
Yes.
You can get a monthly subscription to Teams, et cetera, et cetera. But they haven't brought that down to the home user yet. Now, will they? Again, it depends on whether they think they can make more money or would lose money by doing that. And that's the only consideration they have about that. Remember,
I think the one thing I'm going to invest in is Ask Nick.
Thank you.
See?
$25 a year at AskNick.com.
It's worth something.
Okay.
Thank you. That's what I like to hear.
And that's something we can all agree on.
$25 a year, and it's cheap at half the price. So head on over to AskNick.com and subscribe to my newsletter.
That's
right.
It
comes out every week.
Sure.
I answer computer questions in that same inimitable style that I always do. So, yeah.
Now, that's a subscription I'm willing to pay.
Thank you. I love to hear that. Thank you.
You know, I've been debating it for so long, and it's like, you dummy, why haven't you done it?
That's exactly my question, you dummy.
So
that's what Nick was saying.
I am trying to
collect.
Oh,
and by the way, I sent you a limerick personally. I can't say it on the air.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah, so, that's the problem. Most limericks
you can't.
We'll
save that for later.
It was one my dad used to say all the time, and he would cackle at after he said it. So
okay.
I hope you enjoy it.
Well, thanks for that.
Thank you. I will. I'm sure I will.
Okay. Have a great day, guys.
Okay.
Thanks. You too.
Bye-bye. Yep. Bye.
Oof.
Okay. So here's the only clean limerick I know.
Well, this won't take long. Go
this
ahead.
Won't take long. There was a young lady named Bright.
Okay.
Whose speed was much faster than light. She set out one day in a relative way and returned on the previous night.
I think I've heard that one. Not recently.
That's the only clean limerick I actually know.
Very good.
Yeah.
For those that are just joining us, we found a website called The Limerickster.
Yeah, it's listed on our website.
Yes, you can go to the soundbites.org website and find the link for that. And you can put in the person that you want to write a limerick for and information about them, and it will generate one for you. And you can pick if you want it to be cheerful or if you want it to be snarky or what have you. And so we've been enjoying spending time with that today.
And my favorite limerick is, in fact, by Isaac Asimov.
Okay.
And cannot be told on the air. But it is funny and it is wonderful and it is exceptionally amazing.
There's a nerdy one that I need to find. I'll look for that one.
Yeah, I'm not going to say any more about that one because I don't think I should. But there it is. All right, let me read some more news.
Yeah, this is a family show.
Yeah, exactly. Google for a certain select values of family. Google is introducing a new Android security feature that will detect and flag phone calls in which scammers use artificial intelligence to impersonate a user's personal contacts.
Oof.
Called Fake Call Detection, the feature is rolling out globally this month to Android 12 and later devices, starting with Pixel devices, and will be enabled by default. It works automatically when both a caller and recipient are using Phone by Google. When a contact places a call, their device sends a silent, encrypted confirmation signal to the recipient's device in real time. If that signal is not sent, indicating the call may be spoofed, or obviously if the person is not using Call by Google, the recipient's device will instead ping the contact's actual phone to verify the call's authenticity.
Oh, okay.
So let's say my daughter calls me.
Right.
We both have Pixel phones.
Yes.
The phones will handshake.
Yeah.
And it'll put the call through because it knows it's my daughter.
Right. But if somebody's trying to impersonate your daughter,
it pings her phone
and says,
no, she's not calling.
It checks to make sure that she's actually making the call.
To me.
Right. And if it's not her,
then it comes back and says, this is a scam.
This is a scam.
And hangs up. In fact, it doesn't let the call through, I believe. That part I don't know because it hasn't started happening yet.
No, I think that's just kind of the next piece of the arms race.
Oh, here it is. If the contact's device confirms it is not placing a call, the recipient receives an on-screen warning to hang up immediately. So clearly, buy your parents a Pixel phone today.
Mm.
Because how many parents get... I told you, I got a call from my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I got a call that said, your daughter is in jail.
Oh, yep.
And you need to go buy gift cards.
Gift cards, right, to bail her out.
To bail her
out. Of course.
I said, really, my daughter's in jail? He said, yes. I turned to my daughter, who was sitting on the couch next to me.
Right.
Why are you in jail?
Yeah.
What the hell is wrong with you, Dad? Never mind.
They're coming to pick you up right now, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. Starting July 13th, which is coming right up, Microsoft will prevent Office 2019 for Mac owners from editing their documents. Congratulations. A restriction the company is attributing to the productivity suite's expiring digital certificate.
Mm.
The Office 2019 apps affected include Windows, Excel, PowerPoint, Outlook, and OneNote. That is to say, all of them.
All of them.
Mm-hmm. Once the certificate used to confirm the suite's license expires, these apps will drop into what Microsoft is calling reduced functionality mode.
Mm, okay, what functionality do you retain?
Well, you'll be able to open, view, and print existing documents, but creating, editing, and saving documents will be disabled.
Right, because they want everybody on Office 365.
And paying for it.
Yes.
The same restrictions will apply to iPhone and iPad apps that can't be updated, according to Microsoft. So if you've got an older machine that cannot update,
right.
Too bad.
Like the caller that had the MacBook Air
exactly.
In the iPhone 7.
Too bad. Microsoft is abandoning you.
Hey, there
too bad there aren't a thousand and choices, other choices.
I was
going
to say
that know how to read Word docs.
You can still download them and convert them to something else
and read them. Yeah,
or just read them.
Or Google Docs.
Right,
but yes,
yeah. I mean, I have not had an issue with any of their stuff, you know, in decades.
Yep.
Why would you want to go to Microsoft products anyways? They add so much other stuff that 99% of the people don't even use.
Right. There's also Proton Drive and, you know, if you
LibreOffice,
obviously, LibreOffice locally, et cetera, et cetera. There's
lots
all
of
kinds of choices. Google has often rolled out new app features to iPhones before bringing them over to Android devices.
Yeah.
Google Photos custom stickers have been no different. It took the company 6 months to roll them out to Android phones. By then, the iOS app had received another fresh update that added a dedicated stickers category in the Collections tab. Now, that feature is finally rolling out to Android devices as well. Not that any of us care about stickers, but okay. We're not eight,
If you're using stickers on your photos, please call and tell us about it.
Yeah, and why? In addition to Google AI Edge Gallery, which lets users run Gemma models locally on their Macs, the company has also released the Gemma 412B model and the Google AI Edge Eloquent Dictation app for the Mac. Gemma 412B is also multimodal, which means it can handle text, vision, and audio.
Hmm.
You'll need 16 gigs of RAM for it, however. So that 8-gig Mac Mini you've got?
No dice.
Google, although that will run Linux like a champ.
Sure.
Google AI Edge Eloquent is a free dictation app that captures what users say and transcribes it while polishing the text, removing disfluencies, and making light edits for clarity and flow. Processing is done on device rather than on the cloud. Apple shipped 1.1 million MacBook Neo units in the first quarter of the year, according to IDC, making it one of the strongest Mac debut performances in recent memory.
Yeah.
This figure is particularly striking.
It's a nice little unit.
Given that the laptop was only available for roughly 3 weeks of that period.
Yeah.
Having gone on sale in mid-March.
So they sold a million in 3 weeks?
In 3 weeks. But we've been here for decades, so give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. I will say this about the Neo. It is an amazing piece of kit.
Yeah, it's really well designed. It just feels wonderful in the hand.
It's well designed, well built, well engineered, well thought out.
Yeah.
They did a heck of a job on it. Heck of a job, Smiley, whatever his name is.
Brownie.
What?
Brownie,
that was it. Thank you. Heck of a job, Brownie.
Bringing back the George W. Bush reference from 25 years ago.
If
Brownie's doing a heck of a job related to what? Hurricane Katrina?
Hurricane Katrina.
Yikes.
If you're willing to remember it, I'm willing to dig it up. it is an amazing piece of kit, and it created an earthquake in the computer world.
Now, I will say, the one thing that it does not have going for it is that it's using an Apple A18 processor, which is a one that they've previously used in their telephone.
Yep.
Now, that being said, Mac OS X runs great on it. The downside with 11. The A18... The downside to it is... I'm sorry, they just call it Mac OS now. Is that the A18 only knows how to address 8 gigs of RAM.
Yep.
So that is what ships with that particular unit.
Right.
So I think...
It's all soldered in anyway. You can't change or fix anything on those.
If you are a casual, everyday user, this is fine. No problem. You should go get one. If you are a nerdy person and you know who you are, I would say wait for the revision that I'm sure is due out in the next 12 months or so, where they'll go to the next chip because the next chip will be able to address more RAM. When you start doing more RAM, then you get more options for local LLMs, like we're hearing about from Google, and gives you a bit more longevity.
Right. It's not designed for us.
No.
Quite frankly,
it's designed for
the casual average user.
Yes.
It's designed to compete with Chromebooks.
Yes.
If you're the sort of person who gets up in the morning, starts up your browser, looks at your mail, looks at Facebook, et cetera, that is the machine designed for you, just like Chromebooks were.
Sure. Or low-end to medium Windows PCs.
Windows
laptops.
But what I love is that now a lot of other companies are coming out with more powerful $600 computers.
No, Dell is, and I think some of the Dell stuff
HP,
has...
HP, Lenovo...
Has touch screens as well. And Apple, and also touch screens that also do the, the yoga, where the screen can flip around to the other side.
Yeah.
So you get more options, so it treats it almost like a tablet.
Yep.
Apple is not doing that at this time.
Right, but we win.
Yeah.
We will have... Thank you, Apple. You put out not just a hell of a product, but a challenge to the industry, which is stepping up. Mm-hmm. So we will get more choices, and that makes me happy.
Yeah. No, and it's great to see the engineering.
I want to run Linux on all of them, and that makes me happy.
Go for it.
But yeah, the Neo, when it first came out, that was my first thought.
Yeah.
They've thrown down the gauntlet. Let's hope it gets picked up, and it has.
Yeah, no,
so I'm very pleased.
It's true. 1 million in 3 weeks. That's great.
Yeah, that spoke to the rest of the industry.
Yeah,
in fact.
Sounds great to me anyway.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Dennis Worster, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest running computer show in the known universe. That would be Soundbites right here on member supported Jazz 90.1. We will see you on the other side.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worster.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites.
Still.
Yep.
And
it's
you,
true.
What? It's true.
Yeah. We are still Soundbites.
We're still Soundbites, and you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299 or toll-free at 800-790-0415. Privacy-focused search engine DuckDuckGo has seen a massive surge of new users.
What? Surprise, surprise.
After Google announced a series of AI-related updates to its platform. In the week that followed Google's annual I.O. Developer Conference last month, in which Google heralded a new era for AI search, DuckDuckGo saw app installs increased by nearly a third, while interest in its No AI search page tripled. A recent DuckDuckGo advertising campaign focused on Apple's AI push, with one ad stating, "Not liking the direction Google is headed? Come to the duck side."
Uh-oh. Whack up.
Now, you can, in Google, follow your query with dash AI, which will give you no AI. But people forget, or it's too much of a pain in the neck. If you just go to noai.duckduckgo.com and bookmark that,
you're
always
good to go.
At a no AI search engine. Multiple Dashlane users have been locked out of their accounts following brute force attacks that attempted logins from distant locations and unknown devices. Dashlane confirmed that the lockouts were part of an automated security response designed to protect against account hijacking. Despite Dashlane flagging the issue as resolved, some users continue to report login problems, mentioning that support is unresponsive. A class action lawsuit against Amazon is seeking financial damages for millions of Americans whose faces may have been recorded by Ring cameras since the Familiar Faces feature was rolled out late last year.
Right.
According to the suit, here are millions of Americans who have walked by Ring cameras, which have activated the Familiar Faces feature. Acer is working to address two maximum severity, zero-day vulnerabilities infecting its Wave 7 mesh routers. One vulnerability can allow unauthorized attackers to remotely access plain text credentials stored in log archives. That would be bad. The other stems from a hard-coded cryptographic key that lets remote attackers without privileges gain persistent backdoor access to the router.
Yeah.
Dell has introduced a new version of the XPS 13, speaking of the Neo,
yep.
A laptop that it has said is contending with the MacBook Neo on price and exceeding it on features in the U.S. The XPS 13 starts at $699 for the general public and at $599 for eligible students, which is $100 more than the MacBook Neo on both fronts. However, Dell said the XPS 13 offers a half a dozen features that you won't find on the MacBook Neo, like touchscreen, a backlit keyboard, four speakers, and, of course, Windows Hello. Windows Hello includes the thumbprint thing.
Yes, fingerprint.
Which you can get on a Neo for an extra $100.
You can,
so
as an option.
It matches the price.
Right.
The cable industry's primary lobbying group is seeking a waiver of the Federal Communications Commission ban on foreign routers, warning of potential chaos if cable internet service providers can't change some of the components and routers they offer to home broadband users. The NCTA, which somehow stands for the Internet and Television Association, I don't know why, asked the FCC to grant an expedited waiver allowing its members' suppliers to substitute substrate materials and memory modules in the previously certified routers that are now on the covered list, as long as the changes are otherwise consistent with FCC regulations. This will, apparently, fend off chaos. We revel in chaos, so give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, or toll-free at 800-790-0415. I have to say that we talked about this earlier. Other companies are starting to step up. There's about a half a dozen companies that are putting out Neo-like laptops in the $500, $600,
$700
price range that more or less will go up against the MacBook Neo in various configurations. Like I said, the Dell one we talked about, the XPS 13, which they killed off the XPS line, and that made me sad because I always liked it.
They were nice.
They were real nice, and now they're back, so I'm very excited about that. And the XPS 13, 13-inch laptop, that's what the number stands for.
Yep.
And it's $699, which is the high-end Neo, the one with the thumbprint reader.
Touch ID, they call it.
Well, Touch ID.
Yep.
And on Windows, that's Windows Hello. So it's now equivalent to that higher-end MacBook Neo. And it does, you know, it is essentially the same specifications that most people care about: the size of the hard drive, the amount of RAM, mm-hmm. the size of the screen, et cetera, et cetera. I know, don't call me and tell me how much superior the Mac is to the Windows machine or the Windows machine is. I don't care. I'm talking about the basic
the capabilities
stuff. Yeah. And again, they're low-end machines, okay? I hate to say the $600 machine is low-end.
Well, they're low-end compared to what is possible, but
the Mac standard.
But the capabilities of the machine are still completely sufficient for your needs.
Well, and that's the thing, and that goes to what Dave just said. By Mac standard, Mac has always been at the higher end.
Yep, sure.
And now they have a lower-end machine,
right.
And all those companies that were living in the low-end with really anywhere from okay down to crappy devices now have to step up.
Yeah.
And this makes me happy. This makes me very happy. I talked a couple of weeks ago about the futuristic, the Fujitsu futuristic Q5010 that I bought for $68. It's a Windows 11 tablet.
It's a convertible
keyboard.
Unit.
Yeah,
it's nice.
With a keyboard dock.
And it was only $68. Is it a good machine? Not so much. It's got 4 gig of RAM and like 64 4 gig of disk space. I mean, it's not a lot. It's not a big machine.
But it is a tablet computer.
And it's not a powerful machine, but it's a tablet computer for
$68.
And
it's got 10 hours of battery life. Right. Yeah. And it's less than $100.
Way less than $100. And so, you know, it depends on what you need it for, what you're using it for, what you want it for, yeah, as to whether or not that's actually useful to you.
Well, you're not going to buy it and expect it to play games.
Exactly.
If
right.
you're going to use, you know, get it and search your mail.
Well, solitaire.
And solitaire and, you know, surf the web at not lightning speed, but, you know, it's going to move along.
It moves along. It is slow. Well, I'm used to Linux machines, which blaze. But it's slow, but it gets you there.
Yeah.
And again, for $68, how do you complain?
Yeah. Right. How? Of what grounds do you have?
What did you expect?
Exactly right. If that's all you have, if you have only $68, then this will get you right. more than you would have otherwise.
And $68 is something you can carry around with you, do some light typing on.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, in tablet mode, you could draw pictures of things.
Sure.
You know, whatever it is you do.
And it's going to play YouTube.
It's going to play badly, but it's going to play YouTube, but it's also going to play your music.
Sure.
And it's going to, you know, let you check your mail on the fly.
Yep. Read your recipes.
Read your recipes. It's going to do all that stuff on a fairly light, fairly slow, but acceptable device.
Yeah.
So it depends. And again, let's correlate that to the Neo. People who are used to the lightning-fast, high-end Macs are going to be sore disappointed if they think the Neo can keep up with them. It cannot, but that's not supposed to be its target market.
Right,
it's not the same price point.
It's not about the sustained performance. It's right. about being enough.
Well, the very
it's the
first,
MacBook enough.
Right, exactly. The very first review I read on it said it throttles. If you try to do too much on it, it overheats and throttles.
No kidding.
I don't know what you expected.
Right.
Yeah, really?
It's a phone chip.
Yeah. And it's running a full desktop operating system.
Exactly.
And that's impressive.
Exactly. And so you do one thing, maybe two things at a time. That's it. You don't edit your videos on it while you're listening to music, while you're downloading the next version of Linux. You just don't. It's not designed for that. Don't use it for that. But for the people who like Macs and mostly do light stuff,
and
browse
for
the web,
casual use, we'll
casual
say.
Use or yeah, light stuff. I mean, you can be sitting on it all day, but you're browsing the web, you're looking at your email,
yeah,
like that. It's perfectly adequate, and in fact, it's overkill. So you'll be fine for that. But, you know, the people who write code and you know, do high-end
If you're doing
stuff,
development or if right. you're doing local AI models or things like that, then this
it's
is
not
that's,
for you.
That's not the one you need.
And it's not designed for you. And if you don't, if you find you don't, can't use it for that, you're correct. You can't use it for that. Congratulations. You figured it out.
All right. So I want to talk about something my dad is excited about.
Oh, your dad!
Switching away from laptops. He has a laptop he loves, but
is it about plows?
It is not about plows. Okay. We were talking about the Big Rock plowing match earlier, and that my family history in Northern Illinois and some of the rural events that happen in that area. That's a farming area. The thing he's excited about is tangentially related. He just ordered his first robotic lawnmower.
Oh yes.
he's excited, and I think it's going to be a fun experiment to try so that he can watch it and look out the window drinking his coffee in the morning and watch it out there slaving away in the morning dew and the heat of the summer. And he can sit in his air-conditioned chair and watch it go across the yard.
Now, is this remote-controlled or fully robotic?
Fully robotic.
Nice.
So it's got an app, and he's going to pick the delineations about where his yard starts and stops.
Yep.
And then it is going to recharge itself on its base, and then when it needs to, disconnect itself and roll over to where the tall grass is and start mowing it. And then when it needs to recharge, it's going to retreat back to its home base and plug itself in.
And then you can go back out and finish if it's big enough lawn.
Right. So it's
very cool. They're very cool.
It's like 50 or 60 dB in noise. So yeah. It's as much as a conversation.
Right.
a human voice conversation. So you could literally have that thing running through the night if you wanted.
Yeah.
Without bothering your neighbors. There's no internal combustion engine. There's no exhaust. You don't have to fill it with gas.
It's so just the price tag.
Well, the price tags have come down a lot.
Considerably.
If you haven't looked at them recently, I encourage you to look at them again. So he's excited. That's due to show up in a few days, and he's thinking about...
Well, we're going to expect a report.
Yes. Well, we will have to take some pictures and some video and see what happens. But he's looking to see what might be possible there. Now,
that's very nice.
That being said, I will say, in my own neighborhood, when I'm out walking the dog, there is a neighbor that does have one of these, and the results have not been great. It mows a path that's probably 8 to 10 inches wide, and it does that on sort of a random bounce pattern where it goes to the edge of the yard and just kind of bounces around.
Yep.
And what that means is, particularly at this time of year and our climate where the grass grows to full height twice a week, you have to have your robot unit running almost all the time in order to keep up with the grass. So he's got these stripes of short grass among his tall grass. Yeah. And his I don't know if you ever paid attention to Van Halen and his guitar in the 1980s, the red one with all the black and white stripes going around it. That's what his yard looks like, except in green. So it'll be interesting to see if my dad has the same luck or better luck or worse luck.
I have seen ones that do
interesting
rows.
To see. Yes.
The real problem is the shape of your lawn.
Yeah.
Square is better.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you have bushes and stuff.
Right.
In the middle of it.
Yeah. And he does have some of those. He's got some trees and other things. And I think for the most part, the much like the robot vacuum cleaners and robot mopping things, the algorithms for this have gotten much, much better.
Much better.
So I'm interested in seeing what's possible and looking forward to that. And I'll make sure to come back and give a report.
Yeah, Dave, it used to be that it was cheaper to pave your whole backyard and front yard than to buy one of these things.
Right. You know, the Brady Bunch grass carpet. You just go out with you go out with a vacuum cleaner instead of a lawnmower.
But nowadays, they have come down considerably.
Yeah. No, it's true. Well, the batteries...
And paving has gone up, so...
The battery technologies have gotten so much better since the NiCad days. You know, we've got lithium-ion batteries now that hold so much more energy density. And the motors are more efficient now. And I think, in general... It's going to be a big win for him compared to paying a service to come do the lawn. We're waiting to see what happens.
When my daughter bought her house, she moved in late winter, early spring.
Okay.
Second day she was there, knock on the door.
Yeah.
Some guy was there. Yes. I'm here to mow your lawn. Oh, I can do it.
Yeah.
She said, no. We were already paid. Apparently, the lady who had owned the house.
Yeah.
Had already paid them to do the lawn.
Oh.
So Amelia just said, okay.
Yeah, go for it, guys.
You know.
You're insured, right?
Right, exactly.
I had a better...
Here it is.
When I was at Home Depot.
Yeah.
I felt so bad for this guy. He comes in with this huge box.
Okay.
With his wife in front of him.
All right.
And she goes, some of the language I can't repeat. And some folks were saying, she goes, his legs aren't broken yet, but they soon will be if we don't return this item. He had gone out and bought one of those robotic lawnmowers, and it was like
$4,000. Oh,
yeah. They're not that so much.
I can assure you, there are options available for less.
Yeah. And she was... He can buy 10 of these darn mowers, the regular ones. She goes, his legs aren't broken yet.
Yeah.
And if she breaks them, then he'll need the robotic lawnmower.
Yeah.
He can get a riding one.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Jerry, all the way from down in Jacksonville, Florida. How are things in Jacksonville?
Toasty. Absolutely toasty.
I bet.
No kidding. What's up?
Hey, I'm very excited to hear that somebody's family member has acquired a robot lawnmower.
Oh, yeah.
I am looking forward to the videos when you show on YouTube,
okay,
and hearing the dialogue about how it goes. But as a robot lawnmower owner,
okay,
I would suggest that, one, reading the instruction manual on your next show would be really hysterical.
All right.
Because my robot lawnmower says, step one, mow your lawn.
Uh-oh.
No!
And release the Kraken.
Okay.
Because most robot lawnmowers, at least those that cost less than $1,000 or so, don't deal well with high grass.
Hmm.
Oh, sure, I can see that.
Interesting.
They're really essentially Roombas with a blade.
Yeah, they're more of a string trimmer kind of
thing. Right, all right.
Okay. Good to know.
Not even a string trimmer. Secondly, does he have to lay out the wire to guide it, or is it GPS guided?
This one is GPS guided.
Okay, so he's going to train it to where to mow and where to not mow. I'm going to be fascinated to hear the story as to how that evolves. I was supposed to have one that did that, and it curled up and died on me.
Oh, no.
Oh, no kidding.
Yep. Now it just sort of randomly wanders the lawn. It finds the sidewalk, turns around, and goes to this. So it ended up just being a random walk mower, which was okay for my situation. But at any rate, I'm looking forward to hearing the stories next week or the week afterwards.
We'll have Dennis.
I'll have to phone in with an on-site report.
Yeah.
Absolutely. As soon as he gets it and actually uses it.
Yes. Yes. No.
As we all know, there's often a gap between it came and I set it up.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We'll get there. We'll get you there.
It might be a few weeks.
My dad has already texted me and my brother, and I think he wants to have a little dad and son time and let us all kind of scratch our head and look at it and put things together and read the manual.
We're all going to go out to Illinois.
No.
Sit around.
They're out in Canandaigua, so it's not too far.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
No big deal.
Yes, less of a, you can bike there.
That's true.
The real reason for my call
is
that there is a very neat visual display, system monitor stuff, available for Mac OS called XRG. It says how many cores are running and memory and disk usage and net usage and things like that. And it's really small and it's fast, lives in the corner of your screen. And it's great to know, you know, if your computer isn't doing something for a while, whether it's stuck or whether it's just doing something really hard.
Interesting.
I'm looking for something that has kind of the same presence, but for Linux.
Hmm.
All I've been able to see in system monitors have been big clunky things, but none of them that are light and reasonable for display. I'm just wondering if you guys might know of something.
Which version of Linux are you running?
I've got Cinnamon on Ubuntu.
Ubuntu Cinnamon, okay. Oh, yeah, I see this. So you're looking for any sort of system monitor?
Well, yeah, but one that can live on my screen without consuming a quarter of the screen.
Right. That's a lovely question.
Try,
I don't know
P-sensor.
One off the top of my head.
P-sensor or Conky, Conky.
Conky! Yeah.
I would try those. P-Sensor is a desktop app. And Conky is a desktop overlay or widget.
And you're using Linux Mint Cinnamon?
Yeah.
Let's see. These work with Ubuntu.
So Conky does work on Linux Mint Cinnamon. It should be in your repository, and it should be called Conky-All, Conky-All.
A-L-L?
Yeah, all, as in all the features.
Gotcha. All right, I will hunt around for that, and maybe you guys can talk about it next week.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll check it out. All right, thanks for calling.
Thank you very much.
And if you want to take a look at what it does, it's on GitHub, and it once the show's over, I'll put up a link to it.
Yeah, that'll give you CPU, RAM, disk usage, temperature, network, in and out.
Yeah, it's vertical rather than horizontal.
It also gives you weather. it'll give you the weather as well if you want that.
It'll give you a little bit of everything. It's very, very cool. And it's it's quite configurable, so you can change the background and the text color and all the features. But
you can customize it the way you like.
Conky is available for most Ubuntu systems. It will be in your repository, CONKY-all. There are pieces and parts, but really, you want all the pieces and parts. You want there's a basic default version. There's a command line version. But if you get all, you get everything.
Yeah.
And then when you set it up, you pick what you want and what you want to use.
Right.
I'd forgotten about Conky. Thank you. I have used it in the past. I just don't. I don't have it up now.
Yeah.
I may just have to start installing that on some time.
Well, that's fun to see what your computer is busy thinking about.
Yep. All right. Well, that's it. We're done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. Really interesting stuff this week. I am amazed at how far afield we range from the what's that big red button for. And I love that. I love that. I particularly want to thank Dennis Worcester, who took time out from his Saturday. I believe he still has Steve Ray stuffed in his trunk. We'll go and look after the show and see. Sorry. Steve Ray is one step ahead of the law somewhere in the Southwest. I want to thank Dave Enright, who stayed awake for much of the show and figured out one or two things about the new phone system. I'm Nick Francesco. You've been listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's Soundbites, right here on the truly great and truly grateful to you that we continue to be member-supported Jazz 90.1. We will see you in just 166 hours. Be good to one another, will you?